Yeah. Women have been conditioned to figure it out, so you just maybe haven't had to,
I guess so.
It's my right side, not my left side.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any questions for me before we start?
I don't think so.
Okay. Just in case, I'm going to have you take the slightest shift this way.
More? Like the whole chair?
Yeah, yeah, they're
okay.
Perfect.
Okay.
Oh, back. A little more.
Whoops. This thing's getting all messed up on me. A little more this way?
Tiny, tiny bit, yeah. Perfect.
Okay. One thing I don't have, like I might mention, contact our office. We uh-huh. have people who can provide assistance. I don't have all of our numbers memorized.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, like, if you guys, in the story can, put that up on the screen, like OCI, Consumer Affairs mm-hmm. contact number, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have, a good, 1-800,
yeah.
health help or something.
Yeah.
Right? It's, just some, I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, it is a 1-800-something.
Yes, I know. That's as far as I always get, too. 1-800-something.
And then we do have, a 608 direct number.
I know, but that's just confusing to, rattle it off.
Multiple options.
Yeah.
So.
It'd be great if it was actually 1-800-something, because
that would be
so easy.
Yes.
Exactly.
1-800-something.
So I'll just start with, name, title, and mm-hmm. what your role does.
Okay. Nathan Hodak. I am the insurance commissioner for the state of Wisconsin. And our office, the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance, regulates insurance companies in the state.
So specific to health insurance, can you provide some examples of health insurance claim disputes that your office receives from Wisconsin residents?
Sure. Anytime there's a dispute over maybe coverage or whether a claim should be paid, our office can help answer questions and help resolve those issues. We have a team of people on our consumer affairs team that are here to help answer questions for people, because we know health insurance can be complicated and confusing. And, oftentimes people don't know where to turn if they have questions about their health insurance or if they need help resolving an issue or a coverage dispute with their health insurance company. And it's important to know that our office is here to be a resource, and we have people who are trained and experts in helping resolve coverage issues or claim issues.
And so on the whole, would you say it's common knowledge for people that they can file a complaint, appeal a denial, or dispute a claim?
Yeah, unfortunately, too many people just don't know what their rights are if they do have a claim denied. And there are ways for people to dispute a claim denial or a coverage denial, and our office can help with that. They can help answer questions, help people walk through that process, and actually be a resource in helping file the necessary paperwork and kind of appeal a coverage denial and try to get people the care and coverage that they need and that they have a right to. And unfortunately, studies have shown that of all the coverage and claim denials, only a small percentage are appealed. And that's really because people don't know what their rights are. People don't know that there is a place where they can turn to answer questions, to be a resource. And our office is here to help with that.
So, switching gears a little bit, can you mm-hmm. describe the authority OCI has over self-funded plans and any kind of interactions OCI has with self-funded plans?
Sure. So, again, we know health insurance is complicated, it's confusing. People oftentimes don't know where to turn if they have questions or if they need assistance. And what makes it even more confusing for people is that health insurance is really regulated by a number of different agencies at both the federal and state levels. So, for example, you have Medicare, which is health insurance for older people, that is regulated at the federal level by CMS. You have Medicaid, which is public health insurance for lower income individuals, people with certain disabilities, and that's regulated at the state level by the Department of Health Services. But then you also have the commercial market. And in the commercial market, you have what's commonly referred to as the individual health insurance market. That's kind of the Affordable Care Act market. There's about a little over 300,000 people who are enrolled in coverage through that market. And then you have what's referred to often as the employer-sponsored coverage. And what a lot of people don't understand if they have employer-sponsored coverage is whether that's fully insured coverage or whether that is self-funded coverage. And so oftentimes people will have a claim dispute or a coverage dispute, and you know, they can contact our office, we can provide assistance. But if it's a self-funded plan, those plans are actually regulated by the federal Department of Labor. So that's a challenge because people don't always know the difference between self-funded insurance or self-funded coverage and fully insured.
So I guess you answered this a little bit, mm-hmm. but what do you do when someone comes to you with a complaint about a self-funded plan?
Sure. So we always encourage anyone who has a question or potential dispute with their insurance company to contact our office. We have a team of experts who are trained in helping people, answering questions, resolving disputes. Now, sometimes we can provide direct assistance if a person has the type of insurance that we directly regulate. But if someone has health insurance coverage through a self-funded plan, then we will kind of hand them off to, we like to refer to as kind of a warm handoff to the Department of Labor, because it's the federal Department of Labor that actually regulates self-funded plans. So we still encourage people, if you don't know if you have fully insured coverage or self-funded coverage, you can still contact our office. We can be a resource, but we may end up kind of handing you off in terms of the assistance that would be provided at the federal level instead of by our office.
So because of that handoff, I guess you don't necessarily see how some of these are resolved?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and that, you know, that frankly can be a challenge. So for example, last year our consumer affairs team, which is our team that really the experts that help people if they have questions or any problems with their health insurance company. So our consumer affairs team provided assistance to over 1,600 people who called our office with issues with their health insurance. Now the challenge is that about a quarter of those, a little over 400, were self-funded coverage. So we did help those people, you know, make contact with the Department of Labor and get the assistance that they need, but ultimately that's outside of our regulatory jurisdiction. So we don't know how those issues or disputes are ultimately resolved.
Is it your understanding that Department of Labor is pretty responsive because you are doing that warm handoff? You do at least have an idea that they're connected with someone.
That's our understanding.
Okay.
I mean, we try to facilitate a warm handoff, make sure people know who they can contact at the Department of Labor, and try to make that connection as much as we can. But once that connection is made, you know, it's really up to Department of Labor in terms of how they handle it from there.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So as I've discovered talking to patients, in many cases, people have an insurance card
mm-hmm.
that has the name of an actual health insurance company on it,
mm-hmm.
But they don't realize that they actually have a self-funded plan. So for example, United Healthcare owns UMR,
mm-hmm.
and UMR is the third-party administrator. How confusing is it for consumers to understand what kind of plan they have, what that means? How difficult is it?
Yes, there's a lot of consumer confusion, and the system is, you know, admittedly very complicated. And, you know, if you have your healthcare coverage through your employer, if you're fully insured, you would have an insurance card, and it's the insurance company that essentially bears the risk for paying for healthcare related claims. If your employer self-funds that coverage, they usually still contract with an insurance company or what's called a third-party administrator, And oftentimes, as an employee, you still receive a card from the insurance company that is serving as that third-party administrator. So from the employee experience, you know, you're still paying claims, from the employee experience, you're still paying premium and you have cost sharing, and really it looks the same whether you have fully insured coverage or self-funded. And again, you know, you have that card that can be from an insurance company either way, so you really don't know. And it's important for individuals who have coverage through their employer to really understand that difference, to really understand, is this fully insured coverage or is this self-funded coverage? Because the way those two types of coverage are regulated are very different.
One advocate I spoke with said some of this feels like it's designed to obfuscate kind of the how to navigate the system.
Mm-hmm.
What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, you've heard comments made, I know, when the Affordable Care Act was being debated, and oftentimes in Congress and at the federal level when there have been efforts to enact major health insurance and healthcare reform, you often hear comments to the effect of, we would never design a system like this from scratch, right? There's so many different government agencies that have regulatory oversight. There's so much complexity, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, individual insurance market, group self-funded, group fully insured. You know, all of those different types of healthcare coverage have different regulatory bodies, different rules. So it's really a system that, you know, if you're a consumer, understandably, it's complicated, it's confusing, and you just don't know where to turn when you have issues.
Can you talk about OCI's oversight over pharmacy benefit managers?
Mm-hmm. So a few years ago, there was a law enacted that gave OCI kind of a limited authority, regulatory authority, over pharmacy benefit managers. So pharmacy benefit managers, or PBMs as we call them, now have to be licensed by our office. And there are certain reporting and disclosure requirements. And there are also certain prohibitions on kind of what's called gag clauses. So pharmacists are now able to basically tell someone at the point of sale if there's a lower cost option than using their insurance, or just other lower cost options for paying for their pharmacy or their pharmaceuticals. I think there's more that we could do in terms of oversight of PBMs, and more that we could do in terms of addressing some of the kind of anti-consumer practices of PBMs. And I know there's been a lot of discussion about that in the legislature, and the governor actually in his state budget put forward a number of additional provisions that would provided more consumer protections for people in terms of interacting with PBMs and making sure they can get lower cost prescription drugs.
And so your website says the goal of this increased oversight is to increase transparency, control mm-hmm. costs, protect consumers. Has it done that, to your knowledge?
You know, the challenge is that prescription drug pricing, the prescription drug supply chain, is so complicated. And I think the law that's been enacted to require PBM licensure and some level of oversight by our office is an important step forward, but there's more work that can be done. And we all know that there's more that needs to be done in terms of bringing down the price of prescription drugs overall. I think there's more that we could do at the state level. We know at the federal level, there's been a lot of discussion on different prescription drug reform initiatives. So our office and the oversight that we have of PBMs has provided kind of an important step, but there's more steps that we need to take in order to really address the high cost of prescription drugs.
Would Senate President Filskowski's mm-hmm. bill do more of what you're speaking of?
Well, I know the senator's bill is really focused on addressing some of the more concerning practices related to PBMs and really trying to make sure consumers are protected and getting the lowest cost prescription drugs available to them. In terms of additional steps that can be taken, I know Governor Evers also had provisions in his budget that would have required PBMs to have a fiduciary duty. He also would have required PBM brokers and consultants to be licensed. So I think there are more steps that we can take. Other states also have taken more action in terms of more oversight of PBMs. So there's a lot of different options out there, and I think it's important that we have that conversation and really look at what can we do to make sure ultimately the consumer benefits.
And kind of another consumer information question, you know, there's also, in addition to PBMs, there's alternative funders, there's accumulator maximizer, and sometimes all of these are so tangled up with mm-hmm. one another, and some of these are part of fully insured plans as well as self-funded plans. Mm-hmm. Again, how are consumers supposed to make informed decisions?
Again, it's challenging for a consumer because health insurance, prescription drug coverage, it's so complicated, it can be so confusing. There are resources out there for people to turn if you do get your insurance through your employer, whether it's fully insured or self-funded. Your employer can provide information about your benefit design and the types of prescription drugs that are covered, the formulary. So that would be the first place to go in terms of getting information. If you do have an interaction, or if you do have an issue with an insurance company, you feel that a claim is being improperly denied, or a service is not being covered, you can contact our office, and we encourage people to contact our office to help resolve those claim and coverage disputes.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
The other thing we like to always talk about is the importance of being aware of scams. You know, there are a lot of health insurance and prescription drug scams out there. So if people receive a unsolicited phone call, email, text messages, whatever it might be, just be cautious about that. You know, and if you are contacted by someone who's trying to sell you insurance coverage or prescription drug coverage, you know, ask questions. You can ask for their, what's called their NPN, I forget what it stands for. Anyway, you can ask questions to make sure that it is a legitimate source that's contacting you. And you can also contact our office, and we can help answer questions. We just want to make sure that people don't end up signing up for improper health insurance coverage, improper prescription drug coverage. And there's a lot of people out there, unfortunately, who are trying to take advantage of people. And so we just always try to raise awareness and make sure people are being smart about that.
Mm-hmm. Those are all the questions I have.
Okay.
One thing that, you know, you don't have to answer, but I'm just curious because it's come up a couple times as I've been working on this. Have you learned of AI denials, and is that at all a problem people have voiced concerns about?
What I would say is, I mean, I know there have been news stories about health insurance companies that have been utilizing AI to essentially deny claims or make decisions about coverage or claim payments. But we, you know, two things. One, insurance companies have to abide by the laws of the state, regardless of how they're making decisions about coverage or paying claims. And whether that's using AI, using a human, you know, whatever that process is that they're using to make a decision, they still have to follow the laws of the state. And if someone feels that their claim has been denied improperly, again, they can contact our office. And we recently put out a bulletin that essentially is it's a bulletin to all insurers in the state about how they should be using AI and using it in a way that complies with the insurance laws and regulations of the state. So essentially saying, you know, we know AI is a new technology, right? We know companies are utilizing it across all lines of insurance. And there's a lot of benefit to consumers. And we know that that's going to be a technology of the future, right? But as companies are using this new technology, they still have to make sure they're complying with existing laws and regulations.
Thank you.
Sure.
Extra question in there.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Okay.
Yeah.